Also, Arlen brought his recording device, which is amazing, because we're going to try and record all the sessions. That way, if there's people that aren't here for all of it, and there's people missing tonight, you can refer to those. And even a year from now, I think it'd be interesting to turn back and see what the Lord was releasing in that time. But yeah, I want to share with you guys tonight just this word. This word kairos has been resonating in my heart. I'm going to move a little bit closer, I think. This word kairos has been resonating in my heart for a while. And so I want to share with you tonight about that reality. Some of you are like, what is kairos all about? But I'll explain it. But first, I just want to say, it is a massive honor to speak to you guys. I would honestly way rather talk to a room of 20 leaders than a group of 2,000 people. Because many of you guys are going to take, 100, 500,000 people with you on your journey. And so it's a massive honor for me to have a chance to impact and influence you through this word. And I don't take it for granted. I honestly don't. I even had to think, as we're planning this retreat, and it's just amazing how the Lord kind of accelerated everything. Honestly, we didn't think it was going to happen until probably late June. But here we are, mid-May. Amazing place too, huh? How about it, guys?
Yes.
It's like above and beyond heaven on earth. But yeah, I was just thinking about this retreat as we were planning it, and as I was preparing to share this word with you guys, I had to think back. Last was it February, Dave? March. Last March, Crystal, myself, and Jade, and Dave and Arlen went to Dave's cabin, which is 15 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. It's not that far, right?
Yeah, it's way, but
anyway. Is it farther than that? Okay. Direction is whatever. I just know where I'm at right now, nowhere else.
So. I'm not now, 45.
Anyway, we're at Dave's cabin. And so we were there for the weekend, and it was the first kind of unofficial leadership retreat, right? And we just began to press into the Lord. It was amazing because in that time, we actually got the whole roadmap for the relaunch, which is what then launched us into this past season, which is what led to this Kairos moment tonight. But it was in that time that we were sitting there during one of our times where we were just pressing into the Lord, and we were asking for strategy, we were asking for revelation for his heart, all of his stuff, right? And I actually had I just saw this picture. And I literally saw many of you in that room. And I remember talking about it and just being like, guys, a year from now, they're going to be here. We're going to have a team with us, and that's just what God's going to do. And so it's amazing, honestly, to be here tonight, and you guys are with us. And it's the Lord is putting together a team of people to fulfill his purpose, right, in Lancaster and into the earth. And so, and we're just a part of that, obviously, but it honestly is a massive honor. And you guys are the fulfillment of a word. You're the fulfillment of a prophetic picture the Lord gave me last March, because I honestly saw, so many of your faces. So it's crazy. It's an honor. So I want to talk to you about kairos. I want to try to define that just very briefly. Kairos is the Greek word that's used in the New Testament many times. And Dwayne or Arlen, where's Arlen? Will correct me if I say something wrong, because I know you guys have that background in the word. But so just speak out if I say this wrong. But kairos is the Greek word that's used in the New Testament many times for the word time. There's actually two words, I believe. Kairos and chronos. Chronos is where we get our word chronological, for instance. Basically refers to the passing of time in a set way. Kairos, on the other hand, has an entirely different meaning. So a lot of times when we use the word time in the English language, we're thinking of chronos. It's time to eat, right? It's time to it's time for the leadership retreat, whatever. But the New Testament frequently uses this word kairos. And I really actually liked kairos. Actually, I was checking this out, and the usage of kairos has tremendously increased over the last two decades, which I find really fascinating. The fact that kairos is more and more commonly used as a word, even in the English language. And the Merriam-Webster had this definition of kairos, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to stop defining it because I think this says it all, and I'm actually going to go into the word. So, Merriam-Webster definition for kairos is a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action, the opportune and decisive moment. That about sums up Kairos. And in the context of the New Testament, that is how it's used. It's saying, look, this isn't about the passing of time. Minutes lead to hours, lead to days, lead to weeks, lead to months, years, right? This is about God-appointed times when it's like, I'm going to release something and I'm going to do something, and this is just when I'm going to do it, right? Jesus understood this very well. In Luke 9:51, it talks about when the time came, Jesus set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. Jesus had this understanding of Kairos. It's not so much about, hey, once I'm 30 years old, I'm going to step into my ministry, right? No, it was like, when it's time, when it's Kairos, I'm going to know. And so when it was time for him to go up to Jerusalem and be crucified as an atonement for the sins of humanity, it was like that internal God clock was like, it's Kairos. It's time to go, right? In another example, this is in John 7:6. The Pharisees and scribes basically come to him, they challenge him, they say, hey, like, do a miracle. Which is crazy because he'd been doing them everywhere. They're like, do a miracle. Give us a sign that you're the Messiah. And he just looks at him and says, my time hasn't yet come. For you, any time will do. But I'm listening to the Father. And that word time was Kairos. That's what he was saying, right? Or it was translated into Greek, obviously, but that was the concept that he was using. Wow. And so he understood this reality of Kairos. And when it's time, when the appointed time comes, and when it's like, no, I'm not stepping into that yet. Just another brief example, his first miracle, turning the water into wine, his mom comes to him and she's like, they're asking him about the water, right? And how they're, or asking him about the wine, how they're running out of wine. And some reason his mom knew something that no one else did, because she's like, just do whatever he tells you. And he's like, woman, my time hasn't yet come. Well, sometime in between there was a transaction in heaven, because God was like, actually, yes, it is Kairos. It is time. And so Jesus was activated into his ministry by his mom, which is pretty fascinating. But anyway, he understood Kairos, and we need to understand Kairos. We need to understand the appointed time. We need to understand when God is saying, I'm releasing something into the earth. And if you will recognize a time when the conditions are right for a crucial action, when it's the opportune and decisive moment, then you have the opportunity to make a decision and step into that that God wants to release. And that is what God is doing, guys. This leadership retreat, I'm so convinced, it's a Kairos moment for all of us. It's a Kairos moment for our community to fully step into what God's inviting us into. And this is why we're gathered in the middle of May. And even our Kronos was like, June's probably going to be about right. God's like, no, Kairos, I'm accelerating this. It's time. Right? He's inviting us into something. And so the word that I want to share with you is, I simply want to share with you guys from my perspective and from what the Lord's been speaking, not only to me, but to many of us in the community, and say, guys, this is what he's inviting us into. And recognize that this is an opportune and decisive moment. It's an appointed time that was written about from the foundation of the world, right? We read about it in Ephesians as well. It's simply a reality that this stuff is like in the heart of God, and then he releases it on the earth through partnership with humans. In this case, us. Yeah. It's incredible, guys. So, in the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. Gave the I Have a Dream speech. And his speech and then his subsequent assassination galvanized our nation to take decisive action in the issue of civil rights. And he gave his I Have a Dream speech, and it's an incredibly powerful speech, one of the most often quoted ones, simply because he put forth a bold, transcendent vision that called out the best in people, right? And he had this amazing dream. Well, I propose to you tonight that the Father has a dream, right? The Father of lights. He has a dream. And I want to share that with you guys straight out of the Word, all right? And I want us to get a revelation of the dream that's in the Father's heart and then receive his invitation to step into that. Because that's what this Kairos moment is about. Ephesians 1:10. Ephesians 1:10 says this. This is the New Living Translation. Says, this is the plan. At the right time, it's Kairos. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. There is a dream in the heart of the Father to say to his Son, here is your inheritance. This is what you died for. I gave you all authority in heaven and on earth. You sat down at my right hand, and now there's an appointed time at which I'm going to bring about your inheritance and the thing that I promised you when I sent you to the cross. And it is that everything in heaven and on earth will be brought together under your authority. I'm telling you guys tonight, that is the dream in the heart of the Father. That is the dream that he wants to share with us. And he's shouting from heaven saying, I have a dream. And it's this reality of Jesus Christ and his lordship and his kingship and everything being brought together into unity under his authority. That is the gospel. It's the consummation of the gospel, right? And that is what missions is about. That's what discipleship is about. That's what prayer is about. That's what worship is about. That's what this leadership retreat is about. It's about this dream of seeing everything brought together under the authority of Jesus Christ. Because he is the only king who is completely good. And he's the only king who died and gave life. And he's the only one who has authority given by the Father to rule and reign over everything. And it's when everything's brought into unity under his leadership that the Father is going to say, I had a dream. And in this time, in this Kairos, it is fulfilled. And it's that prophetic vision echoing in our hearts that gives us the energy to keep engaging and to keep pressing in. It's what gives someone like Dwayne, after, you know, 20, 25 years of ministry and missions, that he would still show up at this leadership retreat with a bunch of crazy 20 and some 30-year-olds. And he would be like, I'm still going for it.
Come on.
That is the dream. It's that echo and it's that prophetic vision of everything being brought under the leadership of Jesus, saying, this is the dream. And how could we ever retire as long as it's still left to be fulfilled? So, guys, that word there again is Kairos, at the right time. And I want to share this verse with you as well. Matthew 24:14, Jesus' ministry on earth. He makes this statement. And this statement should haunt us. This statement should keep us awake at night. I remember in 2015 coming back from YWAM just full of zeal. No plan. No idea what the details looked like. No clue what I was doing. That was 4 years ago. I have literally made every mistake in the book since then. Some of you guys that have been running with me the last 4 years, you know that. You're aware of that. And once again, that's why it's an honor to be here with you guys tonight. But regardless of that, I was full of zeal. And I remember one night waking up, and I was living in the basement at Furnace Road, legacy house, bro. And I remember waking up one night, and I wake up talking. And I'm saying, the Great Commission is more important than your job. The Great Commission is more important than how much money you make. And I'm just preaching, right? I literally wake myself up in the middle of the night. It's because of this verse, Matthew 24:14. I don't want to share this verse with you. This is what it says. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations, all ethnos, all people groups will hear it. Then the end will come. That verse should grip our hearts. And I'm not here to tell you guys tonight to define the end. I'm here to define the mandate of the Lord and the invitation of the Lord. Regardless of what that end looks like, right? Some of you guys are thinking rapture. Some of you guys are thinking Jesus ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Some of you guys are thinking chaos throughout the earth, right? It doesn't really matter. It does matter, but not for the sake of this message. What I want us to get revelation of is when that happens. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. There will be some kind of massive transition in the history of humankind. Whatever that looks like. It's not my job tonight to define that. The Lord made that really clear. It's my job to get us thinking about how incredible that shift is going to be. When the good news of the kingdom is preached to all nations, then there's going to be an incredible shift in human history. Something is going to come into alignment, and it will be a Kairos moment that will lead to the dream of the Father being fulfilled. And I want us to think about that, because that's the kind of vision God wants to give us. This isn't about, hey, we have an awesome community with some cool events. This isn't about, hey, Lancaster is such a great place to live. Let's just transform it for Jesus. This isn't about, wow, I have such a great life, right? I am a committed disciple of Jesus, and I've got everything else to boot. No, this is about every nation needs to hear. And until they do, there's some kind of shift in Kairos moment that isn't going to come into play. And we are invited into partnership with the Father, with that dream resonating through our spirits and driving us forward and saying, it's not about striving, it's about the dream of the Father. And that's why I'm still giving it, right? So, what if this generation's the Kairos time? What if it's the appointed time for the completion of the Great Commission? Because that's what that verse is about. He gave us the Great Commission, right? Go into every nation. And then he gives us this statement. When you've gone into every nation, the end will come. What if this generation is it? I want you guys to think about this. This is not just about like, hey, it's going to always keep on going just like we've always known it. No, there is transitional shifts coming that will change everything. There is transitional shifts coming that will so dwarf the decisions that you're making right now that you're all of a sudden you realize those things don't matter as much as you thought. And all of a sudden you're going to be freed up to start making some decisions, or maybe you've been in paralysis because you've been like, what if I make the wrong decision? It's like, no, there is transitional shifts coming that will dwarf in magnitude anything we can imagine. And what if this is a generation? I'm telling you guys, it's possible. Did you guys know it's possible?
Yeah.
It's possible that in this generation, in a very short time, every nation, every people group, out of the thousands that are on the earth, could hear the name of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom declared in their native tongue. The Bible is rapidly approaching translation into every language on earth. There is still several billion people who don't know the name of Jesus. If you talk about Jesus, they'd be like, what, does he live in the next village? Several billion, guys. But with what the Lord is releasing and the opportunities that are before the church in this hour through technology and through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the partnership of the body, it could happen in this generation. And I'm not here to convince you of that. Once again, that's not the point of this message. I'm just saying, I believe we're in a Kairos time. And so what are some of the dynamics that are occurring throughout the earth? Once again, I'm not here to talk about missiology. I'm not here to talk about eschatology. I'm simply here for us to start thinking about, if this is a Kairos time, and if this is the dream of the Father, what does that mean for us? And how can we step into that? And so here's some of the dynamics that are erupting across the earth, right? Global dynamics. I want to share about global dynamics. One of the things we're seeing in the world today is universal disruption. There is disruption in economics, right? The world economy, the global economy is so prone to rapid ups and downs, right? Nothing is safe. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. It doesn't matter if you have billions of dollars worth of holdings. It doesn't matter what you possess. The global economy is operating out of control. No one actually knows how to get a handle on it. And it's so disruptive. And that's not the only thing. Economically, right? Spiritually, there's tremendous disruption with the rise of radical Islam. Right? And it's not all negative. I mean, there's been massive moves of the Holy Spirit in the last 100 years. Just the level of disruption, when you step back and you fly at a 30,000 feet view, you realize the level of disruption that's happening is universal. Right? Wars, rumors of wars. There's always been wars. There's always been rumors of wars. But just the level of disruption. Millions of families being displaced. Refugees causing crisis in nation after nation because their lives have been disrupted. It's not just in Europe, it's South America, it's happening in this nation, right? The debate rages. How do you deal with this disruption? The bottom line is, as Americans, we're so insulated from a lot of that, and when it starts to impede on our daily lives, we freak out. When the reality is, we don't even realize the level of disruption that's happening across the globe. It doesn't matter what your policies are, you're going to be affected by it. So in the midst of all this disruption, at every level you can imagine, there are open doors everywhere. There are open doors everywhere. Millions of Muslims fleeing the Middle East into countries like Germany, Great Britain, and America, and other nations where there are established bodies of believers that are reaching out to them and winning souls for Christ. Right? Whether it's the Chinese underground church, in spite of massive persecution, an intense opposition from the government level, still rapidly expanding, one of the greatest revivals in history. In terms of numbers, it is the greatest revival in history. Hundreds of millions of believers being set on fire. Right? In the midst of this disruption, it's in the context of disruption that the greatest doors swing wide open. We see this in the book of Acts. Paul is like, there's so much opposition, yet this door has been opened to me for effectual ministry, right? Like, it's taking effect. And it's like, even there's a sense in which as the gospel of the kingdom goes forth, it's the greatest disruptive factor of all. Because how many of us know one encounter changes everything?
Yeah, come on.
It disrupts your life forever. There's no going back, right? The gospel of the kingdom is a disruptive force that God is releasing across the earth in the context of disruption to bring about the completion of the Great Commission and to bring about the consummation of the dream of the Father. Which is that all things, we brought under the leadership of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is happening, guys. Global dynamics. Global dynamics are universal disruption. And in the midst of that, the hope of the gospel shining brightly. And so this is the word I want to give you in response to that reality. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Universities, high schools, closed nations, people groups in the Himalayas, in Cambodia, right? Laos. Man, people are hungry. The harvest is ripe. Regional dynamics. I want to talk about Lancaster County, guys. I love Lancaster County. I used to want to run away and never come back. I was so stifled and in a box and just ready to not have to wonder what people think anymore and just be like, get me somewhere where the grass is greener, because everywhere to me was a place where the grass is greener. Guys, I love Lancaster County. I am passionate about the region of Lancaster County coming into the fullness of the Father's purpose. I'm convinced, guys, that God wants to do something catalytic in the region to bring about another great missions movement. And we're in the midst of a missions movement. But man, I see visions, guys, of young people rising up in Lancaster and just unashamedly going out across the earth with the message of the gospel, going to some of the hardest, darkest places with fire in their eyes and saying, I've been equipped all my life for this. I don't even know what electricity is, right? I'll go anywhere. I'll eat anything, right? I see this, guys, and I'm convinced that God is doing something catalytic in Lancaster. So what are the dynamics? Regional dynamics, spiritual hunger, inheritance, and the promise of revival. I am so convinced that God wants to release revival to Lancaster County. I've been living under that impression for 6 years, and I'm more convinced than I've ever been. I'm more convinced than I've ever been. And it's coming from a place of being firmly rooted in the region, fully engaged with typical daily life, right? Whether it's work, family, whatever. Like, I am so convinced that God wants to bring revival. I'm so convinced of the inheritance that is literally impregnating the region, saying there is a move of God here. And if we would just press in, it's going to be released. And I believe that it has a lot to do with the conservative roots and Anabaptist movement that kind of permeates and pervades the region, right? It was really fascinating. We were in a conversation about 6 weeks ago in our living room, and I said, how many of you know what percentage of Lancaster County is Amish? I know it's a bunch of numbers. Well, when it all came, we realized it's about 7%. And they all freaked out. We all freaked out because we're like, only 7%? Like, it seems so outsized. And it's not, it's just this little side note, but what I'm trying to say is there's this reality that God wants to do something and redeem his inheritance that he has in the Anabaptist people. He wants to release that. There is a fire revival that has been stifled for generations by dead religion. But it's still burning. And that is what brings me to spiritual hunger. I don't have a lot of context. I'm 26 years old. I don't know what it's like to see generations roll by. But I can only imagine that surely the level of spiritual hunger that we're seeing has to be unprecedented. And from my understanding and from talking to people that have seen generations roll by, the answer is yes. The level of spiritual hunger is unprecedented. What we're seeing happening, even in the region, even right now in this moment of time, is so many young people who are ready to shed the shackles of dead religion, and they're ready to say, we want the Father's dream. And we want our inheritance. Because generations ago in the 1500s and the 1600s, right, there was so many people who shed their blood for the promise of revival. And we believe there's an inheritance that God wants to release. And it's been dormant, right, for so many years. And so I'm telling you, there's a regional dynamic of inheritance for those who will rise up and possess it. I could tell you so many stories about that, but I'm gonna regress. So, regional dynamics. We're seeing spiritual hunger. We're seeing inheritance. We're seeing the promise of revival. And how do we respond to that? I want to propose to you guys tonight, this is what God is saying. And this is what we are to catch a hold of. Remember, the harvest is ripe. And Jesus is worthy. The harvest is ripe. Global dynamics. Jesus is worthy. Right? That's just what I keep hearing. Jesus is worthy of his inheritance. He's worthy of every pursuit that we could possibly muster to go after him. And he's worthy of a people who are living in the midst of sustained revival. He's so worthy of it. And so that's what I just keep hearing in my spirit when I think about regional dynamics. Jesus is worthy. The harvest is ripe, and Jesus is worthy. It's a Kairos moment. So what does that mean for us as a community? What does all this mean? All these dynamics, right? This invitation into the heart of the Lord. This reality of the Great Commission possibly being fulfilled in this generation. What does it mean? I just want to bring us in a little bit and talk about what does it mean even for us tonight? For us collectively as individuals, what does it mean for this Kairos moment to be before us? And for us to have the opportunity to step into it. It's interesting, I just overheard a conversation tonight. I think it was maybe Arlen or Dave were talking. They were saying how, man, you know, in my mid to late teens, like, I there's just some decisions that just set you on a path, right? I mean, some people that you were very close to when you were 17, 18, 19, man, now you're like, I'm in my mid-20s and like I feel like I'm a world away from those people. And you can point back to decisions that were made that seemed insignificant even. In those moments, it's just like, wow, I can't even fathom living like that anymore. And yet, the only thing that lies between us are these tiny little forks in the road. And so for us as a community, I'm proposing to us, when those Kairos moments come, it can seem like small, insignificant things, but they're forks in the road. And if we're walking in Revelation, and we're walking with the Lord, those Kairos moments take us places that we could have never imagined. Could have never imagined. Right? So the dynamics in this community, and I've been thinking about this for, the Lord started speaking about Kairos back in January. And I've just been thinking about, you know, just the dynamics of this community and thinking about, God, what are you doing? And why is it that it seems like you keep releasing favor and acceleration and there's all these things that are happening and shifting, right? And we're almost like, man, we're almost just trying to get out of the way because it seems like we just like, we like nobody can put the brakes on anymore, right? Like, man, it's just God is just doing something.
Yeah.
He's just moving in this community, guys. There is things that we've been contending for years that are just happening. Yeah. It's like, what? I just fully expected that when that happens, I'm going to have to like really do something crazy to make it happen. It's like God's just releasing it. This room of leaders is a perfect example. Been contending for years for this dedicated, consecrated crew to run with, to fully step into the invitation of the Father, right? And it's like, boom, what just happened? Like, they're here. It's just one tiny example. Just today, we sat in a meeting and Ridgeview, right? This presence, this church that's been in the region for years, since the 60s, and they just roll out the red carpet for us.
Wow.
They're just like, we want you to use our space. First time ever, I'm just like, what? Like, I thought to get that level of invitation into that kind of space, like, we would have to jump through all kinds of hoops. And God's like, no, it's a Kairos moment. And there's these dynamics that he's releasing. For instance, it's hilarious with Ministry Night right now. Like, you know, we're not even telling anyone about it. Other than invitations, it's like, right, we're not even going by the book. Like, you're supposed to market this thing. And you're supposed to like put it on Facebook and Instagram and social media, and you're supposed to like at least have a website. I mean, come on. We might have grown up Amish, but we're not that backward. We don't know that, right? But actually, it's been crazy because we jump into this little building, and it's like, I don't really know Ministry Night. What is that anyway? Like, no one really knows what they're doing, and it's just kind of like, I guess we're just gonna gather. And you know what? Let's invite people. You know, on a one-to-one basis. And it's just like, I remember so clearly, at first meeting, there was maybe 13 of us, 12, 13 of us, and I just told them, I said, guys, like, this isn't the season of increase. You know that, right? Like, this is the season of building foundations, right? And we're just like, okay, whatever. I'm here to tell you guys tonight, the season of increase has overtaken us. The train has left the station. If you're still waiting for it, like, you better start running. Because God is moving in ways that require us to leapfrog and that require us to like catch up, right? And there is this invitation. There is this invitation, guys, into what he's doing. And this is the dynamic in this community right now. God's been speaking about it to me and to us and to many others now for weeks and months. And he's been saying, I am inviting you into more. I'm inviting you into a Kairos moment. I'm preparing you. And I'm inviting you into more. And so this is what I have to tell you guys tonight. In summary of that, global dynamics, regional dynamics, the dynamics of this community, what he's doing, what he's saying, what he's speaking, how he's moving. This is what I have to tell you guys. The harvest is ripe. Jesus is worthy. And the time is now. That's what Kairos is all about. The time is now. This is a now word for a now moment, and the time is now. And he's inviting us now. He's not saying, I'm going to do this in 5 years. I'm going to do this in 10 years. Right? He's saying, the time is now. And if you will partner with you, if you will respond in this Kairos moment, there's going to be an explosion of impact. And we're going to have the privilege of partnering with him in his dream. Massive privilege. The greatest privilege that a human being could be given is an opportunity to partner with the Father in his eternal dream to see all things brought under the leadership of Jesus. And he's saying, I didn't just bring you into the kingdom. I gave you a seat at the table and I'm inviting you into my plan, into what I'm doing. I'm inviting you to write history with me. Like, remember, we're going to live for eternity. Which means there's this little blip of history that 1,000 years we're going to look back at and we're going to realize, wow, he was calling me. And it's that realization that propels us into Kairos moments, into the forks of the road where it could go one way or another. And it's the little, seemingly insignificant moments where we have revelation, we say yes. Every time you have a revelation of the worth of Jesus, the only response that you can have is yes. It's the only response you can possibly have. Any other response is birthed in a lack of revelation. Any hesitation, any denial is rooted in a lack of revelation. A revelation of the worth of Jesus will always result in your heart saying, yes! Because he's the desire of nations. Right? And so he's inviting us, guys. What does it mean? Esther 4:14. They don't use the word kairos there because this is written in Hebrew, right? But there's this reality where Mordecai comes to Esther and he says, look, this is probably going to get you killed, possibly gruesomely. But you need to, you guys are familiar with the story of Esther, right? I don't need to give too much context here. Read it if you're not. You need to do the right thing. And whether or not it works out, or whether or not you do it, it doesn't really matter because God's going to raise up somebody else. But just think that maybe the reason God's brought you to this point is for such a time as this. And he was right. That's the whole point of the story, right? And I just want us to grasp this kairos reality. Maybe the reason that you are where you are, maybe the reason that your journey has unfolded. Again, we were just talking about, it's like, man, there is so many incredible life stories and testimonies in this group. Like, we need to start documenting this stuff because it is wild. It's like, what's the purpose of all this, right? It's not to glorify ourselves. It's not because, man, I did something awesome and when I was 19, I just made all the right choices and like, man, I got it figured out. No! It's like the grace and mercy of God. But why? Maybe, just maybe it's for such a time as this. And the significance of Kairos is that invitation. Maybe the reason he has you on the journey he's on. Maybe the reason for all of these things that you don't even really understand. You're just like, what? Maybe it's for such a time as this. Maybe it's because he wants to significantly move forward the program. If he can just find some people who say yes and stick to it. Maybe it's because he's like, you know, I'm actually getting sick and tired of the nations raging against Jesus. And I'm actually getting really sick and tired of seeing all this brokenness erupting in the earth and people wondering why I don't do something about it. And maybe it's because he's just done with human beings being out of alignment with who they're created to be. Maybe he's just like, it's time. For such a time as this, guys. What does it mean? Three things. You guys handle three things? Three things I got for you, all right? Turn to Romans 13. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, 11. Go there with me. This is what it says. And this is the first thing, guys. In response to this word, I mean, this is not, I really want you to know, this is not necessarily a strategy session, but I want us to be awakened. And the first thing in response to the recognition of a kairos moment, the realization of the worth of Jesus, the harvest is ripe, the time is now, we need to awaken. We need to wake up. Some of us are in different, and probably most of us are at some level of sleepiness. And when you're sleeping, you don't realize what's going on. It doesn't really matter what it is. We need to wake up. Romans 13, 11. This is what it says. And do this, understanding the present kairos. The present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. They were already believers. Why was he talking about salvation? Because salvation is so much more than, I'm not going to go to hell, I'm going to heaven. It's about the dream of the Father saying, everything needs to be brought under the authority of Jesus. That's the fullness of salvation. And so Paul is saying, your salvation is nearer right now than it was when you first believed. At some point in your journey, the Lord rescued you. He saved you from your sinful nature. For me, it was in 2010. Guess what? It's 9 years nearer than it was when I first believed. And as a response to this, Paul is saying, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. And I love this, guys. Verse 12 just wrecks me. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. It's like we don't even realize sometimes this little blip of time in the midst of the eternity of God, where He's working out His dream and His eternal purpose, it's like the night. And it's going to pass like the night. And the day is almost here. The night is nearly over. 2,000 years ago, the night is nearly over. God doesn't operate on Chronos. I'm not going to sit here and say, it's 2,000 years closer. He operates on Kairos, right? But I'm telling you, He's moved things forward significantly since Paul's day. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Awaken. That must be our response to the harvest is ripe. Jesus is worthy, and the time is now. Put aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Because when you're wearing the armor of light, you're a prophetic beacon. The day is almost here. And the powers of darkness rage. Rage against that prophetic symbol. Because it means your time is done. And everything, including even the most twisted, perverted, demonic ideology, it will be shattered and brought under the authority of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You either bow now, or you bow later, but you will bow. Right? And when you're wearing the armor of light, you're awakened. That's the first thing. Secondly, activate. We're coming into a season, guys, where we need to be activated. Crystal talked about the last ministry night. Many of you were there. Crystal talked about, you know, wilderness seasons. And it was a powerful word that she brought. And part of it was, look, like, you probably aren't in, like, a Jesus wilderness if you've been in there for months. It's probably time for you to activate. And even in response to this Kairos word, the second thing I'm inviting us to awaken, I'm saying we need to activate. We need to be activated. I want to take us to Acts 11 for an example of this. So go to Acts 11 verse 25. It's just this little verse that if you're cruising along, you know, daily devotions, just trying to get through your chapter, you'll blow right by it. All right? I do that, by the way. I do that. But I did catch this one. Acts 11 verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Right? Just like, ooh, okay, so what? Big deal. No. This is Saul, right? Knocked off the horse, has this crazy encounter. He's so full of zeal. He's so full of passion. But he has no clue what he's doing. And he makes every mistake in the book. And they literally kick him out. He gets hunted down by persecutors, right? He's over the wall in Damascus in a basket. He gets out of there with his life, barely, after speaking boldly. He goes to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's disrupted because Paul's here and people are like, he's the one who's killing us. And others are like, no, he believes in Jesus now. And they're just like, they take him aside and they're like, we're going to send you out of here. This level of disruption. You know, it was actually a good thing because the very next verse, it's like the church is growing like crazy again because Paul's out of there. He had to be like, what is going on? I thought I was doing the right thing. My heart was right. He walks into a wilderness season. And guys, if you read the New Testament and you study the life of Saul, he was in there for years. And he was marked in that season. But at some point, he had to be activated. And I'm telling you, because of Acts 11, verse 25, that's the reason we have the rest of the book of Acts. Because after that, it's such a game changer. Two chapters later, he gets launched on his first missionary journey. And it's like, from there, the world gets turned upside down. He is the catalytic figure. After the first decade of the first church, after that, he's the catalytic figure that's advancing the gospel. There are many others, right? Don't get me wrong. But Paul, God, in his grace and in his sovereignty, right? He marked him to be a catalytic figure to carry the gospel forward. And think about this. Significant amount of our New Testament is written by Paul. A lot of our understanding of who Jesus is and his work in our lives is as a result of Paul's revelation. Right? It's built on the rest of the Bible, but he's fleshing this stuff out for us. It never happens except for Acts 11. What happens in Acts 11? Barnabas says, God has done something awesome here. This is a Kairos moment. We need Saul. He goes and finds him. It's kind of a big deal when you have to walk far. And when you can't just like hit him up on WhatsApp. It's like he had to hunt him down. And he said, no, come to Antioch with me. There's God's doing something here. I want to see you activated into your calling. I know that God said that you're called to go to the Gentiles, right? I know that God said soon after you got knocked off that horse when you're still sitting there blind that he's called you to be an instrument of his grace, right? And he says, no, come with me to Antioch. And he activated him. Barnabas, by the way, means son of encouragement. How fitting is that? And right now tonight, guys, I want to be a son of encouragement to you. Every single one of you. And my prayer is that you would be activated. That you would move from a place of wondering what the heck is going on and why am I like this anyway to a place of walking out your destiny. Because the harvest is ripe. Jesus is worthy and the time is now. Finally, we need to engage. We need to engage. We need to wake up. We need to activate, we need to engage. Naomi and Crystal, you can come. I want to take us to Joshua 1. Alright? You guys got one Bible verse in today?
Nope.
Joshua 1, verse 7. Remember, I'm not trying to give you guys strategy tonight. I'm trying to get you awakened, activated, and engaged. I'm trying to get you to this point of awareness that it's a Kairos moment, the time is now, and we need to wake up, we need to activate, and we need to engage. Joshua 1:7 says this, be strong and very courageous. That's the mandate. Multiple times it gets repeated in that first chapter. Moses, right? Excuse me. He's passing off the baton to Joshua. What's his primary mandate? It's not do it this way. Watch out for them because they might come at you this way, right? He's not giving strategy. Moses has this understanding, look, all kinds of things are going to go down. This journey is going to go all kinds of different ways. But here's the primary mandate. Be strong and courageous. We are called to engage. And we are called to do so from a place of strength and from a place of courage. And that's going to come supernaturally. It's not that any of us are that great. It's not that we got to figure it out. It's just that God wants to release. As we get awakened, as we get activated, and as we start taking steps of faith to engage, God's going to release courage. And I wanted these guys to sing this song because I felt like it was so fitting. And I felt like God, in this first night of this leadership retreat, in this Kairos moment, he wants to mark us. He wants to mark us with this reality. The harvest is ripe. Jesus is worthy. And the time is right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. When things line up a little bit more. When your finances finally get right. When your emotional health is like, I'm all good. But like, you get over that rough patch you had with your parents. No, the time is now. Remember this. If you don't engage at some point now, you never will. And so, awaken, activate, engage. God wants to mark our hearts. It's a Kairos moment. And so I just want to invite us to to do business with the Lord. We're going to go into this song, and I want to invite us to do business with the Lord. And I want you to get with the Lord and do business with the Lord. So we're just, I don't know how long this time's going to go, but I really feel like we need to kick off this retreat by responding to a Kairos moment sent from heaven. Right? So they're going to sing this song, and we're just going to press in. And when it's time to wrap up, we're going to wrap up. We're going to eat some awesome grapes. First, we're going to wake up. We're going to activate. We're going to engage. So, Father, right now I'm asking you, God, that you would release a revelation of the work of Jesus. I'm asking you, God, that you would open our hearts to the fact that the harvest is ripe. God, that you would speak to us, God, not just me, not just my words, my concept, but Holy Spirit, you would speak to us and tell us the time is now. And Father, I ask in this moment, you would mark us as a spiritual family to proclaim the work of Jesus. You would mark us as a spiritual family, God, as a community, to walk in radical courage and simple obedience. We love you, Jesus.
Patience all ring through us. place a little bit longer, guys. If you feel like you need to pray for someone, I want you to know that you're activated and released to do that.
Oh.